Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians. Soon after the tragic incident, Elizabeth took her 3-year-old daughter Valerie, and they lived among the same Indian tribe that had killed her husband. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking about Paul's letter to the Philippians. In verse 21 of chapter 3, Paul speaks of the one who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. There's just one example of all the things that God brings under his own control. This lowly body. Mine happens to be aging very fast. In fact, I would say more accurately, my body is aged. It's probably got some more aging to do. Only God knows the answer to that one. But it amazes me to think that someday this aged body is going to be transformed so that it is like his glorious body. Who can do that? Well, the God who made the sun stand still, the God who rolled back the sea to enable the Israelites to walk through on dry land, the God that can create the whole world, the God that can turn water into wine, the God that could even make shoes not wear out. He's the one that's going to transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. So that little phrase, everything under his control, you might put that down on a little piece of paper and stick it up in about 10 places in your house so you don't forget it. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the tiny little babies in his hands. You know that song? Beverly Shea used to sing that song at some of Billy Graham's campaigns. And I love that. Just the whole idea that there is nothing that escapes him. And that is the foundation of my unshakable confidence in God. God is God, Lord of the universe, hope of the world, my personal Savior, my defender, my redeemer, my friend. The one who has unimaginable power that can bring everything under his control. Just the other day, I saw a television program about genes and genealogy and DNA. It is mind-boggling, isn't it, when you think of all that stuff? And they were talking about just the genes in one human being. They number something like 2 billion. And they have computers that can track these genes. And the printouts they showed photographs of, they were files as long as a room, 2 or 3 or 4 separate files, each of them as long as a room. That's the way it looked in the picture. Those are just the genes in one person. Who designed those? My Savior, my Lord, my Redeemer, my friend, and everything is under his control. Depend upon it, it's going to happen. How often we say, but I don't see how such and such an event can possibly fit into a pattern for good. We don't have to see it now. We have to believe it. It's by faith. Faith sees with an eye of faith. Chapter 4 of Paul's letter to the Philippians says this, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." You know, Paul was a brilliant man and a tough man, but I know he was a tender man. There are many expressions of his love. his love for these Christians who had become Christians through his ministry. He's thinking there in his prison cell, chained between two guards, not of himself. He's not sharing his feelings about his current situation in the prison. He's giving encouragement to other people, reaching out to them, asking them to stand firm. I've found that there's wonderful therapy when misery happens to be my lot in trying to give somebody else a boost. When we feel very sorry for ourselves and we sink into that morass of self-pity, poor little me, why did this have to happen to me? I've tried so hard to be good. Look what I've done for God. She had no right to say a thing like that to me. He had no right to be so insensitive. When that is our temptation, I have found it's just wonderful therapy to ask the Lord to show me somebody else that I can help, somebody that I can reach out to. What can I do for somebody else? And even when I have felt that I didn't have an ounce of strength left, this happened one time, at least one time, when my second husband was dying of cancer, and I felt when I would wake up in the morning sometimes that I couldn't even get myself out of bed or dressed or fix my own breakfast, let alone do all the things that need to be done for an invalid. And I would be crying out to God to give me strength to take care of myself. And the Lord just somehow or other brought it to my mind. Why not ask me to give strength to give away? And I began to do that. It made a very big difference. It's therapy. When misery is your lot, try giving somebody else a boost. You know that old song, when you're down and out, lift up your head and shout. And I think the answer there is supposed to be, there's going to be a great day. But sometimes when you're down and out, you feel like lifting up your head to shout, I'm down and out. Don't do it. Give somebody else a boost. And then Paul talks about something that I think we're all pretty familiar with, a conflict between two women. He says, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. And somebody has suggested that that word Syntyche might actually be Soon-Touchy. Maybe that was her name, Soon-Touchy. And Paul pleads with these two women to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, to help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Paul was very careful to thank the people who had helped him in his work of the gospel. And a good many of those people, you'll find, if you read the epistles, were women. And apparently Euodia and Syntyche had disagreed about something, and so he is asking the people who receive this letter to help those women because he appreciated what they had done, contending at my side, he says, in the cause of the gospel. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Is that a mood, a feeling, dependent upon your temperament, completely conditioned by what's happening in your life? It's not meant to be. Paul is giving it as a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Nobody, naturally speaking, could rejoice in the Lord always. We don't rejoice at everything that happens. If somebody drops a gallon bottle of grape juice on the kitchen floor, as I heard happened not long ago, do you rejoice? Well, what does the word always mean? I will say it again, rejoice. This is a willed choice, and we have a wonderful example of that in the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk. Many things had gone wrong in Habakkuk's life, but this is his psalm of praise at the end of that little book, Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. Do you know how to draw on that strength? He goes on to say, verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. Is your gentleness visible? Never mind how ungentle the invisible may be. Do you let it show? Choose gentleness. And then another impossible command. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything whatever. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let me say a word to that person who is very worried today. The secret of peace is prayer and thanksgiving. Don't worry. Pray about it. Thank the Lord for it. Present your requests, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.